I want tonight at this period of this meeting and time of prayer to take tonight verse 7 in this wonderful chapter of Micah, where Micah says, "Wherefore I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me." Ladies and gentlemen, to grasp the very feeling and passion and desire of the heart of the prophet, we need to understand the time and the period in which Micah lived. Micah lived in a time and a period of Israel's history when it was of great darkness. He said there in verse 8, at the end of verse 8, "When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me." Whenever you begin to study and read the book of Micah, you will begin to see just how dark and how wicked the hearts of men of Israel had come and began to live and turn against the Lord their God. Micah, his ministry was in the reign of three kings, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And whenever you take those three kings, Micah was a prophet of the Lord. Ahaz was the wickedest of them all. And whenever you turn in the Bible and you go back to 2 Chronicles, you'll begin to see there how wicked that king really was. In 2 Chronicles chapter 28, we're given that great description of just something of what the days of Micah were truly like. Whenever Ahaz came to the throne, he began to shut up the house of the Lord. He began to break up the vessels of the Lord. But he also, what Micah done was, he turned to a great abomination, which was spiritual wickedness, where in 2 Kings we're told where he sacrificed and he offered his own son. He set up altars unto Baal. And he turned the hearts of God's people away from the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we have been celebrating and marking this year the 70th reign of Her Majesty the Queen. And if the Lord was to take her out of her position of the throne, I would pray with all my heart that we would not end up with a king like the heart of Ahaz. And you and I tonight are living in a time and a generation. And when we begin to study the book of Micah, and just to lift it and put it into our time and period, brethren and sisters, you can see the great darkness that is gathering all around us. And we're speaking of a spiritual darkness. I don't know about you, but this last few days has certainly caused, if you're a true child of God and love the Lord, it has caused us to be grieved at the very heart. I don't know if you saw the images and the pictures of the Commonwealth Games, at the very opening of that Commonwealth Games in the United Kingdom, in the city of Birmingham, you see them pulling out what they call the beast, a bull. And there you see them gathering around the bull, which has got a red dot or red blood coming from its eye. And they refer to us as he as a beacon of light and a beacon of hope. And this is the future for England. Are you still sleeping? Balaam worship in the United Kingdom. And you see them all gathering around it, and you see them all bowing down to the beast. To the beast. And referring to it as he. That's a great picture, isn't it? Of the Antichrist on the days to come. And Micah sat in a time of period of great darkness. He sat in a time of period of great wickedness and of great sin. And Micah had not even a friend he could turn to or a friend that he could trust in. And is it any wonder that Micah said in verse 7, "Wherefore I will look unto the Lord." Because he could look nowhere else. Because when he looked into the heart and into the land of Israel, he saw that great darkness and a great falling away of a nation that was blessed of God. Blessed of God. Let me say this. If you turn back to Micah chapter 2 and verse 1, now, it's not the preacher saying this. It's what God's saying in his word. And again, you see the word woe right again at chapter 2. But look at what it says at the end, or in the middle of that verse, and work evil upon their beds. And then he goes on, when the morning is light, they practice it because it is in the power of their hand. And I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, there's immorality. There's fornication. There's idolatry. And you can see it in our day and in our land. Listen, men and women, they're hopping into bed with this one and that one. And my dear friend, the very values of marriage is gone. And it's in their power. And we today, we live in what they call a sex god age. Everything is advertised by the flesh. You look at verse 3 of chapter 2. Wherefore thus saith the Lord. You see that? And then it says right at the very end of that, it says, for this time is evil. Is evil. And then when you come down to verse 10, again the Lord is through his prophet, he says, arise ye and depart. You know, the great cry of the free church many years ago was separation. Come ye out from among them and be ye separated, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And God is calling his church, God is calling the people in this time, in this day and generation, to arise and depart. Because it is polluted. Because it is polluted. And then if you come to verse 3, look at what it says. In chapter 3 and verse 2, who hateth the good and loveth the evil. Is that not a picture again of our society? They love evil rather than good. My dear friend, things that would have never ever dared to be mentioned today have become acceptable in our land again. And I make no apology for this. Ladies and gentlemen, for somebody to abort a little child, a true innocent little child, and yet it's seen as if it's right. Is it any wonder when we come down to the verse 4 of chapter 3, look at what it says right at the end, themselves ill in their doings. And then chapter 4 and verse 1. But in the last days, you see it? But in the last days, it shall come to pass. And ladies and gentlemen, if it was bad enough to see sodomites walking the streets of Belfast and glorifying and praying of their sin, that is a mark and a clear indication that we, you and I are in the last of the last days and the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. And to see in Birmingham them wheeling out the image of the beast and them all bowing down before it and them wishing it and saying it's a beacon of hope and a beacon of light. And Micah, he said, when I sit in darkness, verse 8, when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I've been studying and I've actually been speaking a couple of times on this wonderful chapter. And I've drew so much great encouragement from it. Because when you look at verse 7, rather than looking what is going on around us and what is happening, because the Lord says, when you see all these things come to pass, look up. Look up. Why? Because your salvation draweth nigh. And Micah could sit in this time of great wickedness. The king Ahaz, he had closed the house of the Lord. He had turned Israel to Balaam to worship false idols and idolatry. He was practicing satanic worship. He was the nation, the hearts of the people, they were wicked, they were sinful. And he says in verse 2 of chapter 7, the good man has perished. What does that mean? The good man has perished. It means the godly man. The godly man. Ladies and gentlemen, over these few years, the Lord, one by one, has been calling godly men and godly women home to glory. And sadly tonight, there are few godly men and women left in the house of God. Here we are at a midweek prayer meeting, and the world is in a crisis. And the world is in great darkness, and the world is looking to this and to that. And brethren and sisters, where is the church? We look for the godly man. We look for that person who will stand out to be a beacon and to be a light, not for the world, but for a light for Christ. To point men and women to the Lamb of God. And Micah said, when I look for the good man, I can't find him. I can't find him. He says, there is none upright among men. And when he went down to verse 3, they do evil with both hands earnestly. And he could see the heart. Princes asketh and judges asketh for rewards. That means bribes. There's plenty of brown envelopes in these days go in to get people into certain positions and power, isn't there? They'll take a bribe to get in anywhere. And the great man, he uttereth mischief desires, so they wrap it up, they pride in it. And they glory in it, and they've no shame. No shame. And then he says, trust ye not a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. And then he says, the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemies are the men of his own house. That's sad. I said this a few days ago when I was bringing out this little verse. You know, I just said, you know, isn't it sad when the father can't speak to the son and the daughter can't speak to the mother. The mother-in-law can't speak to the children. But it goes even into the church. There are those who sit in the pews and they can't even speak to each other. And yet God says, where the brethren dwell together in unity, it is there where God commands the blessing. You see? Is it any wonder when Micah looked around, he said, there's only one place I can look, and that's to the Lord. That's to the Lord. And ladies and gentlemen, in these days that we're living in these days of great darkness and great wickedness, we're better to look than unto the Lord. Because he said in verse 8, rejoice not against me, O my enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. And look at what it says. Whenever God would come and deliver him and help him, even his enemy, the enemies in verse 10 were saying, where is the Lord thy God? Have you ever had that question put to you? I'm sure you have. In the place of employment and the world watch and they see what's going on around the world and they hear all these things and maybe you as a Christian, they've tried you at the canteen table or out in the factory floor and they've said, hey, you're a Christian, where's your God? is your God. And every time you try to put a reasonable biblical answer to it, one time maybe you try to bring them back to the scriptures or quote a verse, and you're shut down for even speaking out for the Lord. And yet they can sit round their canteen tables and they can talk about all the sin and all the dirt of the world. And yet the moment the child of God opens their voice, they're told to keep quiet. Told to keep quiet. And that's Micah. Micah was a prophet of the Lord, and I'm sure Micah tried to warn Israel and tell Israel that the ways were wrong, and yet every time he preached the truth, he was told to keep quiet, even by those of his own house. Micah, don't point out the sin. Don't show us the sin, Micah. Don't tell us that God's judgment is upon us. Micah, don't preach the truth, Micah. But Micah remained faithful, and he remained true. You see, there's not just Micah's look, but there's also Micah's wait. Because look what he said, I will wait for the God of my salvation. And I tell you, men and women, the hardest thing to do is to wait on the Lord. We all want it now. We all want it to happen right now. And yet the Lord says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up their wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. The psalmist said in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. Are you here tonight sitting in darkness? Are you here tonight sitting with troubles and burdens and worries and anxieties? You don't know where to turn. You don't know where to turn to. Listen to what Micah said. He said, listen, I will look to the Lord. And I will wait on him. I will wait on him. I'll not be rash. I'll not do anything that would dishonor his name or would ruin my testimony. I'll hold out. I'll hold on. I'll wait until the Lord comes and the Lord moves. How would Micah hold on? How would he wait? How would he continue to look on to the Lord? In prayer. In prayer. But you see, there's not just Micah's look, and there's not just Micah waiting for the God of his salvation. You see his deliverance. Because he said, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. There's his deliverer. And I tell you, men and women, in the time of great darkness, if you and I continue to be faithful in the place of prayer and continue to hold on to the altar and continue to cry unto God to come and to move and to stir the hearts and to save the lost and to turn the situation and keep looking to him with that confidence that God is our refuge and strength. And a very present help in a time of trouble. And I go back to it again tonight. Are you here in this prayer meeting with trouble? Are you here in this prayer meeting tonight with burdens and anxieties and worries and fears? Are you just like Micah? You're sitting in darkness, not knowing what direction, not knowing what road to go. And listen to the confidence of Micah. The Lord shall be a light unto me. He shall be a light unto me. Listen. It's not an easy road we're on as a Christian and as a pilgrim. There are many twists and there are many turns in the Christian life. But the psalmist said, thy word shall be a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. Micah said, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait patiently on my God. The heathens had their God. But Micah was trusting in the one true living God. With all the confidence and faith to know that the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob would fulfill his word as he gave to his servant. He would come and fulfill his truth. How do you know that? Because look what he says at verse 20. at the end of that chapter, look what he said. Thou wilt perform the truth. The truth. God is a God who cannot lie, men and women. And when God gave his promises to Abram, to Isaac, and to Jacob, that he would send the deliverer, that he would send the redeemer, that he would send the one who would go to the cross of Calvary and die for the sins of his people. My dear friend, Micah had this great hope to know, even though he lived in a time of great darkness, that God would come and God would revive Israel again. Just as he said, according to his word. With this final thought before we come to pray, we not only see his look, his weight, his deliverance, but we see his faith. He says, my God will hear me. Will hear me. He says, my God. What did the psalmist David say? The Lord is my shepherd. See, it's personal, you see. And the Lord ought to be personal to each and every one of us. Because there does come those times when we are in great trials and great sorrow and great grief of heart. But thank God that the Lord who promised, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, because he says, when I sit in darkness. And it's the same as Isaiah 43. When thou passest through the waters, will the Lord forsake his people? No, he will not. Because he said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And Micah had this great confidence and great faith that every time, and I thought of this today, every time Micah approached the throne of grace, he had every confidence that God would hear him. That's some thought, isn't it? He's just like you and me, men and women. He might be a prophet in the Bible, but he was just an old sinner saved by grace. And he had this great, wonderful privilege that he can make access at any time to the throne of grace. And every time he would come to the Lord in prayer, he had every confidence that God would hear him. Do you have that confidence? Do you have that same faith as Micah? What did the Lord say in Jeremiah? Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things. You see, what was the confidence? And why could Micah know a full assurance that the Lord would come and revive him and deliver him and turn the hearts of the people of Israel? Look at verse 18. Micah said, who? Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgressions of the realm of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever. But look at it, because he delighteth in mercy. In mercy. And then verse 19 he says, he will turn again. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea. Did God hear his servant? Did God fulfill his word? Did God answer the prayer of Micah? Yes, he did. Because when you go back to 2 Chronicles chapter 29, Ahaz only reigned for 16 years. His reign was short. And then there came another king, Hezekiah. And the first thing that king did, the moment that he came to the throne, he reopened the house of the Lord again. And he called the Levites. And he told the Levites to set everything in order in the house of God. And the Levites carried out the duty. And then as they put everything in its proper order, and as they began to call upon the Lord, God turned their captivity. And in the day of Hezekiah, he saw a revival. A revival. Can God do it again? Yes, he can. Why? Because who is a God like unto thee? And he delights in mercy. And brethren and sisters, it breaks my heart and it saddens my heart to see the way our wee nation and this wee beloved land of ours is going today. Oh, that God would stir our hearts. Oh, that God would wake us up to the truth. Instead of trying to think it's all okay and everything's all right and it'll work itself all out. Brethren and sisters, we need to pray that God would take a dealing with our hearts again. That the Lord would get the sin out of our lives. Show us the sin and the things that are wrong in each one of our hearts and our lives. Just as the king said, to put the things in order. And when we start to do those things, then we can expect God again to move in great blessing and in great saving power. You see, Micah, his period was dark, but yet in the midst of darkness, he had a light, a true light, and that light was Jesus Christ. And Micah said, wherefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And whatever your trouble is today, whatever your burden is, take it to the Lord. Bring it to him. Look unto him and ask the Lord to help you. Ask the Lord to show you. Ask the Lord to guide you. And ask the Lord to come. And if it is a loved one who you've been praying for many years and they're still not saved, then don't give up. Keep praying. Keep wrestling with God at the place of prayer with the same confidence of Micah that when I come to pray, the Lord will hear me.